In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
All right, good morning to everybody out there. Thank you guys for listening. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN, and I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. As I do every Saturday, this is my fourth year bringing you guys high school sports. I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room off to the right-hand side. After you walk into the store, you'll pass by some baseball equipment, baseball gloves. They'll restring your baseball gloves as well here at First String Sports. Bats, hats against the wall, football equipment, all the stuff you need for your sporting goods needs. Love doing my show from here. To my right, got Letterman's Jackets from Kerman, Sierra High, Fresno Christian, the Hoover Patriots, the Bullard Knights, that four-school combo that is Central, Selma, Woodlake, and Kalinga. Sunnyside's there, Sanger, the Clovis schools behind me, Clovis North, Clovis High, Clovis West. So, again, very thankful to First String Sports for hosting the show and being involved in high school athletics throughout the Central Valley. All right, I got a big show lined up for you guys. I can't wait to tell you what we have in store, but I got to do our Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating weather report as well. It's currently, 57? Yeah, 57 degrees right now, a high of 62. It's going to stay cloudy. And what was that strange liquid form that was falling for a little bit last night? Yeah, that's rain. And looked at my iPhone, and we got rain. We got 90% chance on Tuesday. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, there's chance of rain as well. So get ready for that. And it has been beautiful weather, especially in the afternoon when that sun is out. Gorgeous, just enough to wear a light jacket or a sweatshirt out there. But the beautiful Central Valley weather that we have until, of course, you know, we get into those hot summer months. But been beautiful weather lately. All right. So I teased what we have coming up on the show for the next 2 hours here. I got Adrian Martinez on the show. If you guys are familiar with Central Valley Sports, Central Section Sports in the last, I don't know, how long has it been? 8 years? 9 years since Adrian Martinez broke onto the scene as a quarterback at Clovis West. Started as a sophomore. Really got on the national radar his junior season. He was offered by everybody. Fortunately, his senior year, tore his labrum, had surgery, missed all athletics his senior year, chose University of Nebraska, set all kinds of passing records there, transferred to Kansas State his senior year, got a tryout with the Detroit Lions, was on their preseason squad, played in a few preseason games, got released, got picked up by the UFL. Remember that? UFL's first year, Birmingham Stallions. Just went ahead and led the league in rushing from the quarterback spot. Went undefeated. Actually, no, they lost. I think they lost two games. But won the UFL championship. Adrian's named the MVP. And this last year, he spent the entire year with the New York Jets. He was on the practice squad. He actually got elevated for one game this year to the 53-man team. And I think that was against the Vikings. But Adrian is a kid and phenomenal athlete as you'll ever meet to come out of the Central Section. Covered him for all those years at Clovis West, got to know his family. He's been on the show one time a couple years ago, but great kid. I can't wait for you guys to hear about his experiences with the Jets this last year, who he's met, who's he been impressed with, what it's been like to work with Aaron Rodgers, what it's like to play, you know, in those preseason games, suit up for a game, just all the great experiences that he's had through the life of a football player. Can't wait for you guys to hear that. I can't wait to talk to Adrian, man. It's been a while for me as well. At the top of hour number two, yeah, I'm going to take Adrian all the way up to 11 o'clock. I got Paul Hernandez. Paul Hernandez does a phenomenal job based down in Bakersfield, but covering boys Central Section basketball. Comes out with rankings every 2 weeks. And they're not just rankings with the records and kind of a few sentences sprinkled in. He goes all in, breaks down the players, how they've performed, what he's been impressed with when he's seen teams with his own eyeballs. Always enjoy Paul. He was on before the season began, giving up some preseason rankings. So I thought now would be a good time to catch up with him. Believe it or not, guys, Central Section basketball playoffs are going to be here in a couple weeks. Only a week and a half. There's only three league games. Playoffs are going to be here in 2 weeks. That's wild. That's crazy. It is February 1st, right? The year of our Lord 2025. This basketball season has absolutely flown by. So Paul does a great job breaking down the rankings. We're going to talk about some of the top boys teams in the Central Section. And speaking of some of the top boys teams in the Central Section, how about those Buchanan Bears? I've mentioned them before, right? They're 22-3. They beat Central last night, 53-39. 6-1 in the track. Their only loss was to Central, avenged that loss last night. And they're going to be playing for a track title. I'm jumping ahead a little bit. Next Friday, they're going to be hosting Clovis North, the team that they beat on the road. We're going to have that game on 1430 ESPN. Phil Benanti and I are going to be on that call. We've got Connor Sheets coming into First Street Sports. At the bottom of hour number two, we're going to get to know Connor a little bit more. His family moved from Nevada here to the Clovis area. So a lot of people didn't know about it. All of a sudden here, yeah, they got some new kid that's tearing it up. And he is absolutely tearing up this year, having a phenomenal year. He is one of the best players in the Central Section. I've seen the dude play. I watched him play on Tuesday. Had a follow-up dunk. He's a guard. Had a follow-up dunk, two-handed, 2 feet off of a miss. Got that gym rocking and rolling. So, Connor, I can't wait for you guys to hear all about Connor Sheets and his journey. Well, last night we broadcasted San Joaquin Memorial at Bullard. Talk about electric atmospheres. Student sections were lit. We were actually broadcasted right next to the student section for the Bullard. So we were right in the corner there. We had a few times we had trouble seeing what was happening on the court because the students were getting up and cheering and doing all those great things that makes basketball fun. Memorial student section was over on the other side. So they were separated, a little, you know, chanting back and forth. Good old-fashioned fun, right? But it was an intense basketball game all the way through. It was 38-37 entering the fourth quarter. Might seem like a low-scoring game, but it wasn't an ugly game at all, in my opinion. Good old-fashioned defense, not a lot of turnovers. Javance Coleman hit a three-pointer at the buzzer to cut the lead to one entering the fourth. Banked it in from about where the bench is at Bullard High. But the fourth quarter belonged to San Joaquin Memorial. Julius Olariwaju and Abram Potts combined for 29 points in the fourth quarter to come out with that 62-57 win. San Joaquin Memorial is now 22-4 on the season. Bullard now 14-10 on the year. A couple more things before we hit the break and bring on Adrian Martinez. The Clovis West girls, they keep winning. Beat Clovis East last night 91-30. They're up to number 7 nationally, according to Blue Ribbon Sports. Number 6 in California, so I think that says a lot about the teams in California. 26-0 on the season. They're not going to lose a game in the Central Section. Stamped, guaranteed, put on the board, automatic. Nobody's going to beat them in the Central Section. State playoffs, hopefully they get put in the North because a lot of those teams, those really good teams, are in the South. But a phenomenal start to Clovis West. Nothing new, but that 26-0 certainly stands out. Really quick, one more thing before we hit the break. There is a huge realignment that is going to be voted on with the schools in the Central Section on April 1st. I have a copy of the proposal here. I'm going to get into it a little bit more on a different show. Definitely want to leave as much time for Adrian as possible. But the Clovis Unified, Fresno Unified, Sanger, Central, they're going to be all lumped into one conference based then on tiers in each sport. It's going to be a big deal. It's kind of the direction the college sports is moving towards as well. So that's going to be happening in the Central Section. We'll dive into that more in a future show. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. All right, we'll take a break here. When we come back, we're going to hear from Adrian Martinez himself on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. You're listening to it on 1430 ESPN. And I got a special guest here. A lot of us have been following Adrian Martinez' career since he played at Clovis West, then to Nebraska, Kansas State, to his stint with the Detroit Lions, and then his MVP run in the UFL to last year playing for the New York Jets. Adrian, right now, I think he's in Nebraska. We're going to find out right now. But, Adrian, I'm very excited to catch up with you, man. It's been a long time, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, Paul. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. All right, so where are you in Nebraska right now, and then what's going on with your days? Just working out and keeping yourself fit and ready to go?
Yeah, so I'm out in Omaha, Nebraska, living with my fiance. First time, if you can believe it, that we have our own place together. I mean, you kind of talked through it a bit there, but I've lived a lot of different places the last stretch of years, so it's kind of nice to find a spot and settle in at least for a little bit, and yeah, staying in shape, working out, all those things.
So I was curious what type of, like, you know, you talk about your experiences and all the different places you lived, and you know, I gave everyone just a snapshot of the last, what, like 8 years of your life, which must seem like a whirlwind. Seems like a long time since you've been to Clovis West. But I'm curious, Adrian, like, when was the last time you were in the Valley, you were in the Clovis area? Did you come for Christmas or Thanksgiving this year, or not able to do that?
I wasn't able to do it. So this past Christmas, we had a game a couple days later. So that was my first Christmas spending it really with nobody. I mean, it sounds kind of sad, but I got to hang out with my teammates, and it was like another day. But that's part of the gig, and, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything, being, you know, that I get to live out my dream and get the best job in the world. But last time I was in the Valley, I would say, actually, it was during the bye week. I decided to come out, see my family, and hang out with everybody, catch up. That was nice, you know, but it was a long trip coming from New Jersey all the way to the other side of the country.
And when you come home to the Valley, like, what are there some certain spots that you like to go check out, maybe some food that you haven't had in a while, or drive by Clovis West and the practice field? Like, what are the types of things? Or maybe you don't even really have much time at all because you're on such a tight schedule.
Well, it is kind of like a schedule, right? I mean, I got to go see grandma. I got to go, you know, like there's some must-dos. And for me, like, got to go by Fieldhouse. Love that spot. Got to go to Doghouse, Teriyaki Don. Like, there are just a couple spots that I'll always have a spot in my heart that I got to go check out and make sure I stop in and say hi to everybody and eat some good food.
I checked up on eBay. I'm going to ask you a memorabilia question right now to see what type of stuff is out there. There's a lot of, like, Nebraska helmets that you've signed. I even saw a Detroit Lions game-worn jersey that was sold on eBay. I don't know how they got a hold of that. And there's a few football cards as well. I mean, how cool is that to, you know, to have yourself on some football cards?
It's pretty cool. I think you know this, but I've always been a sports junkie, and I collected cards growing up and have a decent collection. I still have them with me. I mean, I've drug them around everywhere with me. Like, I love that stuff. But it's crazy. Like, even the Lions jersey, I had no idea that was out there or how it got out there, but it's out there. And, I mean, all power to the guy who has it, and it's pretty cool. I have a few jerseys of my own and some helmets of my own, and, you know, we'll see when it's all said and done how much just stuff I'll have. I already have quite a bit.
Yeah, I guess the guy sold it for like $300. So, I mean, he made a decent amount of money, but it wasn't autographed. It was just a game-worn jersey, so I thought that was pretty funny. All right, so what is the coolest piece of memorabilia that you've been able to pick up along your way? What's something that is, like, near and dear to your heart?
Yeah, so I have a helmet from each place I've been at. So I have, you know, a UFL Birmingham Stallions helmet. I have a Nebraska helmet. I have a couple Jets helmets, a K-State helmet, some jerseys from all my stops as well. I would say most recently I was with the Jets, and I got to be in the room with Aaron Rodgers and Tyrod Taylor, and we traded for Davante Adams. And Davante, I mean, in a way, he's a Fresno legend. He's a Fresno State legend. So first thing I went up to him and told him was, hey, I'm from Fresno. I'm from the Valley. Like, I grew up loving you, man, loving to watch you play. And we kind of hit it off from there. And at the end of the year, he ended up giving me a pair of some worn cleats, some Jordan cleats from him. So that's probably the coolest memorabilia type thing I have. You know, even the Jordan box that has his name on it and all of it, it's pretty cool, especially cool to me just because of the Valley connection.
Were you a little starstruck when you met him? Like, what was going through your mind when you met Davante?
I was just like, man, he's a good football player. Like, it doesn't take long to notice. You know, like, you're out of practice and you see him catch a ball, you see him run routes, and I'm not sure how old he is at this point, but it doesn't matter. Like, you see him, you're like, yeah, that's a Hall of Famer. Guy can play ball, and he does it at a high level. So it's really more of just like a – and he's meeting the expectation that I've always had of him, which is a high ask, you know. It's a tall task to fulfill, and I think him and as well as Aaron Rodgers definitely fit that for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. You signed this reserve futures contract recently with the Jets. So how cool was that? How happy were you with that contract? And exactly, just explain what that entails.
Yeah, so there are a lot of kind of interesting little things about the NFL I feel like people don't necessarily know, but something like a futures contract, it essentially means I'm a Jet. You know, I signed a contract to continue being a Jet. It's a two-year deal. But what it really is, if I'm being 100% honest with you and, of course, the audience, it's another opportunity to make the team, right? Like, it's another opportunity to go prove myself in training camp, to go make the roster or make the practice squad and be on the team another season and fulfill that that drive to go play on Sundays, you know? So there's no guarantee to it, like, oh, I'm – penciled in for the next 2 years. Like, no, it's the NFL. Everybody's got to earn their spot every year, and that doesn't change for a guy like me.
And you're obviously working out right now in Nebraska, talking with Adrian Martinez. All right, I want to go back just a little bit. I want to go back into some Jet stuff in just a second, but you had that remarkable season with the UFL. You won the championship. You're on national TV. You were MVP, led the league in rushing. How did you sign then with the Jets? What did that look like after the UFL season? Were a few teams interested you? Obviously, you have an agent as well, but how did you land with the Jets? What did that look like?
Yeah, talk about a whirlwind. I've spent some time the last few weeks reflecting on 2024, and it was a crazy year. It was a year full of football. I started the UFL season sometime in March. We finished that season up about mid-June, and then from that point, I had about a month to get ready for an NFL training camp. So there were some rumors with my agent and different teams. You know, I don't really want to put that business out there, but I will say there was no guarantee. It's like, okay, these teams are interested in me. They're going to fly me out. I'm going to go out to their facility. I'm going to work out, throw in front of their coaches and scouts, and we'll kind of see how it goes. Now, the Jets were always one of those teams, and I'm glad it broke the way it did. You know, I'm glad I got the opportunity to go there, and I decided to go there and learn from guys like Aaron and Tyrod, two very experienced vets, and earn my spot on the team. So it worked out the way I was hoping it would, but especially in that short window, it was like, okay, I just finished a 12-week season. You know, yeah, we accomplished some really good things in the UFL, and we won a championship, and it was about as great as, you know, I could have hoped for. But all of that was to get another opportunity at the NFL. So I was like, okay, it's the beginning of something new, and you got to be ready. You got to go in there fresh and fired up, not with the whole season of baggage, if you will. You know, and so I think that opportunity, I was able to kind of catapult myself into that next chance and go be ready to play in preseason games and then training camp and all those type of things.
And the whirlwind was, especially with the UFL, was kind of encapsulated by the moment with Tom Brady. That was such a great moment, Adrian, to watch on TV when he presented you the MVP of the championship game, and just the expressions that you had on your face. And well, even there was champagne that was popped, and you tried to shield Tom Brady from getting hit with the champagne as well. So just talk about Tom Brady presenting you that MVP trophy. I mean, do you even remember a lot of that, or does it just seem like such a whirlwind experience?
Hey, and I'll say this, I'd shield him again. You know what I mean? Like, that's Tom Brady. He might just be the GOAT. He just might be the best quarterback of all time. And it was really cool meeting him. It was really cool him coming up to me, knowing my name, giving me compliments, and then ultimately handing me the MVP trophy for that game. It was storybook stuff for me, you know? Like, my family was able to be out there. My fiance and her family were able to be out there. And just to have that type of success, and we all know this, it's life. There's lots of ups and downs and high moments and low moments. And to be in that moment and know that it was a high moment for me and for my family, it was really cool. It was really cool to have that.
Where's the MVP trophy right now? Do you got it in your place? Is it encased along with some of those helmets and those Davante Adams shoes? Where's that trophy at?
You want to know something that's hilarious? So when they handed me that trophy, they said, this is just like a placeholder. We're going to send you the real one. So they probably got that from like Home Goods or something. That could have been a $10 trophy for all I know. No name on it, nothing. It's just a star. I'm like, okay, you know what? It's symbolic. It's fine. I don't really care. But I don't have a trophy. So maybe you can ask some other people. Am I a jerk to eventually hit up the UFL and be like, hey, can I get that trophy? Could you guys send that to me?
You literally do not have it. All you have is that placeholder still?
I had to give the placeholder back. I don't have anything. Just a memory and a picture.
Oh, all right. Anybody listening out there and could come up with this phenomenal looking trophy / plaque, whatever, for Adrian Martinez's UFL championship game MVP experience. All right, hop on it, man. Maybe I'm going to make that my life goal in February, is to find you something and send it to you, man. That is a phenomenal story. All right, UFL, step up. The people of the Central Valley are going to have to step up for them. That is absolutely remarkable. That blows me away.
Yeah, I mean, you can't make that stuff up. But, hey, maybe they do send me one here soon, and I'll make sure to send you a picture just in case people have any unresolved questions about it.
All right, please do that. I got to ask you about the national championship game won by Ohio State over Notre Dame, because you, your former teammate, Will Howard, at Kansas State, how cool was that to experience, right, watching him do what he did this season and hoist a trophy? And how soon was it? Were you able to connect with him, send him a text or anything like that? What was that like watching him?
It was special. Obviously, I got an opportunity to become really close with Will and understand his drive and passion behind the game. And it was earned. You know, I know some of the difficulties he's had. And just in the same way that I was talking about one of my high points in the UFL, it was cool to see a close friend and a guy that I love. I mean, so much love for him, have that high moment himself on the biggest stage in college football, to have that success when I think a lot of people doubted him and doubted him throughout the season, and to just catch fire at the right moment and put it all on display. And now he's going to have an opportunity to go play in the NFL. Like, he earned that. He deserved it. So, it's cool, and I made sure to let him know that. And he's getting hit up left and right, doing morning interviews and things like that. So I try and be pretty conscious of stuff like that. But he deserves it all, and he truly is. I know people see it in interviews and things like that, but he is a great guy, you know, and genuinely a great guy.
Absolutely, yeah. That was fun to watch. Adrian, I want to ask you about just more with the Jets. Like, kind of go through or walk us through just a day, right? I think a lot of people don't understand exactly how many people are on a practice squad. I mean, do you just see who's going to make the 53-man roster for the Sunday, like the day before? I mean, what does that even look like?
Yeah, so essentially there are 53 active roster players and there are 16 practice squad players. So the team is a lot smaller than what a college team will be. So a college team's like 120 guys. Or maybe they just changed the rule to 105 maximum. Either way, it's a lot more. So there's a lot more depth there, and essentially that's what the practice squad is for. You know, like I was the third-string quarterback for the New York Jets. I'm on the practice squad, and I'm the third-string guy. You know, and there's maybe the fourth-string running back or maybe the second-string offensive guard is on the practice squad. Like, those are for depth reasons. So I would explain it that way. And then for game day, there are only, I believe it's 48 players who can dress. And so then there's a 7 to 8 inactive players who are still considered to be on the active roster, but they're not allowed to dress for that game. So there's all these little weird rules, and practice squad guys can be elevated. You can elevate a practice squad player 3 times throughout the year without having to, like, take them off the practice squad. So there's all these little kind of unique rules. But in terms of the schedule, so like you said, let's say Wednesday. So a typical NFL schedule, Monday after the game on Sunday, you'll come in, you'll watch the last game. You know, you'll do game review, critiques, notes, what could have we done better, what did we do right. Have a team meeting, kind of collectively, everybody, let's address this game, and then let's move on. Get a good workout in, a good squash, make sure your body's feeling right. Tuesday is an off day. Generally in the NFL, Tuesday you're off. You can still come into the building, do what you need to do, and for an NFL quarterback, a lot of times that means coming into the office and watching tape and making sure you're mentally ready for the next week. Wednesday is basically a typical Monday in a way. So Wednesday is the start of the week where, all right, we're going to get the whole game plan, essentially. We're going to get all the base down, so like first and second down passing. We're going to get first and second down runs. We're going to overview the opponent, like what type of defensive structure do they run? What's their personnel look like? Who are their star players? When do they like to blitz the most? Just kind of some basic information about this team, about how we're trying to attack them. So those will start at, you know, 8 o'clock. Try and get in the building around 7 a.m. Make sure you're prepared. And then, yeah, 8 o'clock meetings start. Then we'll have a walkthrough after some meetings. We'll have a walkthrough around 11. Practice at 12:30 for a couple hours. You get about an hour and a half window break after that. You can do a lift in that window. You can do whatever you want, really. Then you come back, watch the tape of practice, watch some tape of the opponent, and then you leave when you need to leave. So it's kind of like a, you know, it's kind of like a 9 to 5, you know, NFL.
Yeah, right. It's a business. Obviously, it's a game. It's everything wrapped up into one. And you hit on this a little bit, Adrian, about being in the same room as Tyrod Taylor, who everybody loves. He's just a consummate professional, and of course, a future Hall of Famer and Aaron Rodgers. Like, what have you learned most from those guys? What have been some of your takeaways from being in the room with them and watching them practice and how they go about their business?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. It's just how to be a pro. And in more ways than, you know, being a really good football player, but being a good teammate, taking care of your business, being mentally prepared, emotionally prepared. I think that's an element of the game that not a lot of people outside of the locker room understand. You know, these are people. You know, they're not just guys in helmets you see on TV. They're people, and there's a process to being at your best when you're on the field. It goes beyond just watching film and making sure physically you're ready. There's a whole process that needs to be addressed, and all of it needs to be right in order for you to be your best on the field. So I think being in that room, I just got to learn about their processes, you know, in terms of watching film, like I said, emotionally, physically, all of those things, and what leadership looks like. And for a guy like Aaron, for example, who's this huge character in terms of how people see him in the media, and obviously he's going to be a Hall of Famer and all the stuff that comes with that, and to see him interact on a day-to-day basis with everyone from, you know, the janitors to, you know, our starting receivers, he's consistent, and he's a good teammate, and I think I gained a ton of respect for him and Tyrod as well. Like you said, everyone knows how good of a guy and how good of a teammate he is. It was cool to see, and, you know, obviously motivational for me, a guy like me and what I aspire to be.
So when you first saw Aaron Rodgers throw the football in person, like, could you hear the zip on a ball? Does it just have a different type of trajectory? Like, what was going through your mind when you first saw Aaron rip it?
His release. Yeah, his release is lightning fast. And for a guy who's, I believe, 41 years old now, it was pretty impressive. And I kind of talked about it earlier, just how we have a walkthrough before practice, stuff like that. Typically in those walkthroughs, you don't really throw the ball. They're more for looks, and let's get down some of the blocking and, okay, routes look like this, and these are the coverages we think we're going to get. Aaron would go out there without a warm-up and just throw the ball better than almost anyone I've ever seen throw the ball. You know what I mean? And without a warm-up, in a walkthrough, and just ripping the ball all over the field. And it wasn't a surprise, because he's known. I mean, him and Marino, I would say, are known as two of the best throwers of the football of all time, you know, and it was pretty easy to see why very quickly.
It's just natural for Aaron, right? It's just like walking and breathing and drinking, right? It just comes out of his hand so natural. And, you know, I've noticed that from, you know, from the beginning of his career. So it was awesome from your perspective. You got to literally see it up close, just how smooth he throws the football. Adrian, October 6th, you were able to suit up, right, again at Minnesota. Is that true?
That's right, yeah.
So just walk us through that was like from the locker room to going out onto the field to warm-ups to seeing the game on the field. Like, just walk us through those moments and how cool those were.
Yeah, so that game was actually in London, and we were playing the Vikings.
That's right.
And we, funny enough, we obviously got our butts kicked that game, and Vikings turned out to be pretty good. But London was a cool experience. I found out the night before the game that I was going to be dressing, and it was special. Obviously the first time in my career getting to suit up in a regular season NFL game. And we're playing at, I believe it's called Tottenham. It's a Premier League team. Really cool stadium. It's a soccer field and just out there in London. But pregame warmups, it's a special feel. And for me, though, I have to say, like, I've been a part of so many football games, and it's something I've done my whole life. So from that mindset, I was kind of like, hey, this is just another game. You know what I mean? Like, let's not put any extra pressure on it or feel like, you know, I'm not equipped for this moment. I was ready, you know, and I felt with the preparation and the guys I had around me and two great models, like I was saying, and Tyrod and Aaron, I was ready to have that moment and be dressed out. And if my name was called, I would have sprinted out there and felt like I was right where I needed to be.
And leading up to that moment, right, you've, like you mentioned, you've been to a lot of places and you've had a lot of ups and downs in your career. Was there a point, Adrian, where like, man, I don't know if this football thing is going to work out for me on the professional level, playing in a game? Like, what were some of your thoughts going through your mind throughout this process?
Never. Never. Now, I think
awesome.
I think there are two parts to that. I mean, they tell you a lot, and you see a lot of clips on social media and all these different things about you got to be all in, all your eggs in this basket. And I agree with that to an extent, in that you have to have 100% belief in yourself and that it will break for you. And I genuinely felt that. that I had to just continue to chop, and it was going to, you know, the wood was going to break for me, you know, and that I was going to get that opportunity. And I got it in Detroit. It didn't work out. I got a second chance in the UFL. I was able to make the most of that and then get an opportunity with the Jets and kind of make that happen. But at the same time, I was also trying to prepare myself for what was next, you know. And for me, that was, you know, getting my master's degree. And I got an internship with the Nebraska Athletic Department, not this last fall, but the fall before, after I'd been let go from Detroit. And so just trying to do little things like that to, okay, if this doesn't work out, what's my next move? But at the same time, in my mind, I knew that other opportunity was going to come. I don't know if that makes sense. I know I'm kind of talking out of both ends of my mouth, but that was just my mindset on it.
Well, Adrian, knowing you for, you know, since you were a freshman and having some admin point to you on the bench of the basketball game, say that's the next big athlete right there. You know, just knowing you and your the success that you've had athletically and the ups and downs and the amount of work, you know, behind the scenes that you've put in and the mental approach that you have to everything in life, like, that doesn't surprise me, right? We know you well. You know, your coaches, your family know you well, and you're a very driven person. So hearing that answer makes absolute perfect sense to anybody that knows you well. So, you know, you've done an amazing job so far. You keep going. And where I got to ask you, though, Adrian, like, where does that come from? I know your family is very strong, means a lot to you. You mentioned that they were at the championship game. I'm sure they went and watched you in the NFL suit. You know, maybe they went to London. I don't know. I'm not sure. But just kind of where does that come from, the mental approach to the game and just that drive for success that you have?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it, and a lot of it has to do with my family. I'm very thankful. Thankful for them and the role that they've played in my life, you know, and continue to play in my life, and kind of the new cast of characters that are in it right now, you know, like my fiance and some great friends, and all those people play a role. And, you know, I always point to my dad, and I know you know a lot about my personal history and some things that I feel like would probably take too long to explain right now, but he's been an incredible role model for me, and I'll never forget the days of him going into work, you know, when it was still dark out, and coming back home when it was still dark, and putting in that time for us. And obviously time has given me an opportunity to reflect on that, and that he sacrificed a lot to let me go play travel basketball, to go drive me to play travel baseball, and to give me the stuff I wanted in football, to let me wear the towel and to tape up my wrists, you know, and do all the silly stuff that, you know, I thought was just a given when I was a kid. And it's not. It's not a given. And so I think his mentality is something that has just kind of bled into me and how I operate. And I take a lot of pride in that. So he's a big source of motivation for me, and just the way he's been able to work throughout his life. And I want to do that and try and one-up him a little bit. You know, I think that's part of my motivation.
And going back to Clovis West a bit, Adrian, like you mentioned, when you come back, you got to go to the field house, you got to visit grandma, you do these things. But let's go back to your high school days. Let's go back maybe when you're like 16 years old, suiting up for Clovis West. If you right now, Adrian Martinez, could get in a time machine and go back, like, what would you tell your 16-year-old self right now?
Tough, you know, because I wouldn't change a thing, you know, and I wouldn't want to change the path that I've taken to get to this moment. Yeah, there have been some real tough times and some real great times too. And I would just say, cherish those around you, man, you know, because people say it all the time. And as a young kid, it's inevitable. You're just going to kind of let it go in one ear and out the other. But, you know, you're not going to be in that spot forever. It feels like Clovis West is going to be there for you forever. And, you know, Coach George Petrasan, shout out my high school football coach. You're going to be playing for him forever, and you're just going to be living the good life with your family. And, you know, it life just doesn't work that way. You know, you have a finite amount of time in a certain spot with certain people, and there's no way of knowing if that's going to last a year, 5 years, or maybe it'll be a couple months. So enjoy it for what it is, like right now. You know, the right now. That's all there is the right now.
Good stuff. We got about another 4 minutes with Adrian Martinez here. Being with the Jets and seeing phenomenal football players, the best in the world, like, who's a couple guys? I know you mentioned Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, and Tyrod Taylor, but, like, who are some other guys that you've seen in person that just impressed the heck out of you?
Yeah, I mean, he had some big names, you know, and one of them would be Garrett Wilson. I think his status, his first 3 years in the NFL, he's had over 1,000 yards. He was a first-round pick. Played him at Ohio State. He made sure to let me know about that. I mean, they wrecked us on college game day back in 2019. So every time I try and give him a little flack for Ohio State, like, I couldn't really say too much because he'd always have that calling card. But, yeah, he's super impressive. Just smooth, explosive, a great talent. And then a guy like Braylon Allen, you know, it's funny. When you get to the NFL, you have guys on one side of the spectrum, like, you know, there's Aaron, I was saying, 41, and we made sure to give him a hard time about that. And then you have Braylon Allen. He's 20 years old. 20 years old playing at running back in the NFL and doing a great job and looking like an absolute freak out there on the field. You know, he's cut up. He's 6'1", 230, whatever he is, and he's a force, you know. And so just seeing some guys like that, I mean, Quinnen Williams, our defensive tackle, Quincy Williams, his brother, who at one point was a Pro Bowl linebacker, and just seeing the skill and the speed and the athleticism just all over the field, and every team's got it. I mean, it's the NFL, so it was cool to see that way.
Training camp starts when?
Should start late July, but I think OTAs will start here in like mid-April.
And where exactly do you go for that?
We'll be in Florham Park, New Jersey. Okay. So that's something where we're the New York Jets, but our facilities and everything is in New Jersey. And the Giants are the same way. The only team that's in the state of New York is Buffalo. Funny enough.
Got it. I'll mention Buffalo really, really quick. Have you got to meet Josh Allen and let you know you're from the Valley too or not?
Heck yeah.
All right.
We played Buffalo, what was that, week 17 maybe? Maybe week 16 in Buffalo, and they have a great environment. A lot of credit to those fans, and then obviously a really good team. And Josh, after the game, I had gone up to him, and I was like, "What's up, Josh?" He's like, "What's up, Adrian?" I was like, "Holy," I was about to introduce myself, and he knew who I was, which was pretty cool. It was pretty cool, and obviously, we talked about the Valley, and then we talked about our quarterback rooms, and he just wished me luck. And I think it goes to show what kind of guy Josh Allen is, you know, as star-studded as he is. And he's an all-pro, and he might win the MVP and all of that. He took the time to have a conversation with me right after the game and talk about the Valley, where we're both from, and wish me luck. It was a cool moment for me, for sure.
Oh, that is, right? That is awesome. Like, you thought that you were going to have to introduce yourself. You're like, "Hey, Adrian, what's up?" So that is really, really cool. That's good to hear. Adrian, really quick before you go, Super Bowl pick. Are you allowed to make a pick who you think's going to win this game?
Yeah. I mean, as long as it has nothing to do with betting, that is not what I can do. But I will say I'm going to be rooting for, and I think the Eagles will win. And my college center, Cam Jurgens, he's a starter there now, had a Pro Bowl year. I think their O-line is the best in football. And I think if anybody's going to have a way to attack that Chiefs defense that's been good all year, it's going to be the Eagles in that running game. And I wouldn't sleep on their ability to take shots. You know, the Chiefs like to play man. They like to be aggressive. And with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, I think they have legit weapons on the outside to go take advantage of it. So I think the Eagles will get the win in the rematch.
All right. The offensive line is going to come into play. Maybe Saquon will break out one of those patented 50 to 60 yard touchdown runs that we've seen him over the last month perform out of the field. Adrian, thanks so much for coming on the show. This has been an absolute blast. You are definitely a gem, and everyone roots for you and loves you as a person. And just thanks again for coming on and let everybody know what's going on in your life. Appreciate you.
Hey, Paul, I appreciate you, man. We go way back, and you're one of the best in the biz, so appreciate it.
All right, thanks. That's Adrian Martinez. You can follow him on Twitter and all the great things he's doing. Making the New York Jets team, he's born and ready for this moment. All right, Adrian, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, coming up next, we're going to take a break. And we got Paul Hernandez breaking down boys basketball in the Central Section, and you're listening to it on 1430 ESPN.
Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Herndon and Sierra. Do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room. To the right, what do I see? Edison, Hoover, Clovis West, Parlier, Clovis North, Madera, Liberty, Torres, Matilda Torres, Sanger West. So come on down here. This is the only place where you can get your Letterman's jacket. They'll walk you through the process. They'll help you organize the patches that you want. If you want Bible verses, scripture, whatever you want, they do it all here at First String Sports. They've been my day one sponsors. They're awesome. They do a fantastic job here. And I want to go back just a little bit before we bring Paul Hernandez on to that Adrian Martinez interview, right? So here's a guy that, is a legit Division I quarterback recruit. Alabama offered him, right? All the Pac-12 schools at that time offered him. Actually committed to Tennessee, committed to Cal, and then found himself in Nebraska. Starting quarterback, boom, true freshman from day one. Ups and downs, had a great freshman year. Broke all kinds of records at Nebraska. Heck, I think going into his sophomore year, he was like an 8-1 odds to win the Heisman, right? Talk about pressure. Sophomore year didn't go as planned, a little bit injured. Junior year, then transfers to Kansas State. Gets injured a little bit, missed a few games. Had that great game against Oklahoma, right? Just incredible journey all the way up to the New York Jets. Just an incredible young man, one of those guys we root for. And that MVP trophy thing cracked me up from the UFL. So if you missed it, Tom Brady presented him with the MVP of the game, the championship game, with this trophy. Looked like just this little star. It wasn't engraved. There was nothing on it. And Adrian found out it was just a placeholder. And he has yet to receive the real trophy for earning the MVP, if there's even a real trophy at all. So I don't know. I'm going to get some of my top men on this. Maybe we could create one for him and send it to him, right? That is just crazy to me that there is no trophy that's been delivered to Adrian Martinez. All right, we're going to switch to Paul Hernandez. We got him on the line. Does a fantastic job. NothingButNetMagazine.com is the website that he has. You can find all of his rankings, tons of player profiles, player rankings, just an incredible wealth of knowledge for boys basketball in the Central Section. He's based in Bakersfield. He makes his way down to the Central Valley. Bakersfield is Central Valley, but all the way down here to the Clovis Fresno all the time. You can follow him at P_33 on the X machine. So, Paul, how you doing, my friend? So great to hear from you.
Hey, Paul, how's it going, man? I'm doing good. I'm doing good, man. We're in the, that fun time of the year where things are getting intense and, you got seedings up for grab. And I've been just sure you have as well, man. Just the competitiveness of the track league, I think, has been the most interesting thing of this season. And I think that's going to have a pretty big impact overall on just how things play off for the seeding. So I think it's been a fun basketball season so far.
No, it has. And already, it's February 1st and the championship games are going to be at the end of the month at Sound Arena again. The seedings will be out, what, next Saturday? Or, I mean, sorry, in 2 weeks, maybe? I don't know. Yeah, that's pretty wild. Or the playoffs are, I mean, my timeline's a little screwed up.
Yeah, 13th is when rankings should be posted for the playoffs, and then they start February 15th. And I think Trevor Horn had posted this yesterday. You got some Saturday games to start off the first weekend, which is pretty cool. So I kind of like this. And then it looks like everything's kind of almost pushed back a week going into that first weekend of March. So for the section championship. So a little kind of different dynamic to some of the playoff things, but I like that. I think having Saturday playoff games to start the playoffs is a good way to just build intrigue, get fans involved. You know, you don't have to worry about those rush hours to try to get to games on a Friday night. You know, they could be tough. So I like that so far. But, yeah, you're right. It's winding down quickly, and there's been some intriguing, yeah. I mean, as of last night, some intriguing games.
Yeah, and I didn't give the full scoreboard in the opening show. Wanted to save as much for Adrian Martinez as possible. So Clovis North defeated Clovis last night, 65-46. And I saw the box score. It was actually a 7-point game. Clovis played them really tight until that fourth quarter. Entering the fourth quarter, a 7-point game. But Clovis North setting up that huge matchup a week. This coming Friday, a game that we're going to have on 1430 ESPN at Buchanan, but they first play at Central, speaking of Clovis North, on Tuesday. Buchanan's going to be playing at Clovis West. And there was a really tight game at Clovis West. Clovis East came out 54-53 in overtime with a victory. So you mentioned how tight the track is. 6-1 so far for Clovis North and Buchanan. How much of that? I know Eli Gish missed the game for Clovis North when they played Buchanan. But what surprised you maybe most about the track this season?
Again, it looks going in kind of like if it was going to be Clovis North to lose. You know, they've been playing hot. They play obviously a really good schedule every year. They do. Kind of had them locked in at that number two seed for my own personal rankings, and didn't really know if anybody was going to be able to battle them. But knowing and seeing, you know, Buchanan a few times this year, knowing that they're really just solid team. They play great basketball, and then they got a guy, you know, and we and you, I think, were talking about this via text, man. Connor Sheets is just an impressive, impressive player. I think another guy that kind of falls in that category for me would be like Gabe Gutierrez for Bakersfield Christian. It just helps when you got a guy you can give the ball to, you know, in crunch time. But I don't know. It's hard to tell because Buchanan had a really, I think, a good bounce back, impressive win over Central, who defeated them early. I think that was, to me, the shocker of the track league and really kind of threw things in peril. And then Buchanan going to, and I mentioned this in my updated rankings, that the reason I moved Buchanan ahead of Clovis North and also San Joaquin Memorial, both of them ahead of Clovis North, was really more about, man, that team has gone through some adversity the last couple of years, with Connor's injuries a couple of years ago, and they've been able to weather the storm. They've been able to still continue to get wins. So for Buchanan to go to Clovis North and still get a win, to me, that was an impressive one, you know, and so that gave me the justification to move them ahead. But also just, again, it shows they've got size, they've got strength, they're a big physical team, and they run their system, they execute Orlick's system really well, and they're not, I guess for lack of a better way of saying it, they're a predictable team, but that's not a bad thing, you know what I mean? Like they play to their strengths, and I think that's what's got them in the situation they're in right now, which I believe their record is, as of now, probably, what, 22-3? That's a lot. Yeah. That's a big season, you know, with some good wins. And so, but having said that, you know, you could just as easily argue that Clovis West had a one-off night. They were missing Elias Gish, who is 6'6". That's the size that they need. He's their third leading scorer. And so it's not like you're just sitting a guy that's going to miss, you know, a little bit of time. And it looks like the updated rankings as of, I think, the 30th, for the CIF with you, Max Preps, still has Clovis North at that number two seed. So their strength of schedule, again, heavily gives them that little bump. But, you know, I think that rematch game is going to be huge. I'm going to try to get there next week. There's some really good games next week. But I think we'll find out, you know, within the next week if that was, you said Buchanan's got Clovis West on Tuesday as well.
Tuesday,
that's a big week, you know, because them losing last night to Clovis East. I mean, Clovis East, I know, has had some dynamics or some structure shifts with their roster, you know, and that I think has led to a little bit of backslide, but I think they're starting to kind of pick up momentum. And you just see it this year. There's more equity amongst the track, and I think that leads to some intriguing situations moving forward. You know, I think the Central win over Buchanan is pretty big, because I don't think Central's as good as Buchanan or the other directional teams from the Clovis Unified. But that's still a win that it's bolstered them up too. I mean, they're still in the top 10 when you look at the overall rankings broken down when they average the max preps plus the strength of schedule. I think they're still a top 10 team as of right now. So it's been fun. It's definitely been fun to watch. You know what I mean?
So the updating standings, and just as you said, Connor Sheets' name, he shows up here at First String Sports. He's going to be coming on after I talk with you, Paul. So we got Buchanan at 6-1, Clovis North at 6-1, Clovis West at 4-3, Clovis East at 3-4, Central at 2-5, and Clovis at 0-7. So you're right, the track looks pretty strong again this year, as always. You mentioned Clovis East with that big win at Clovis West last night. Let's go back to San Joaquin Memorial, and we were able to broadcast their game last night against Bullard. Physically, side-wise, shooting-wise, defensive-wise, they're just a very well-balanced high school basketball team this year. They start 6'9", 6'8". And funny thing, too, Paul, you'll like this. So we're watching the warm-ups, and you know, like most high school teams, it's the shortest guy that comes out first, and then they go to the next tallest guy too. The tallest guy is the last guy, right, that comes out and in the layup line. Parker Spees was the last guy. It wasn't Jackson Scarborough who's listed at 6'9", but Parker, and Coach Roz said, hey, Parker might be 6'9", though, and he did look a tiny bit taller than Jackson Scarborough, which is scary, but San Joaquin Memorial this year just seems like one of the more well-balanced teams in the Central section.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think me and you talked about this early on. I know in my preseason rankings, and I've been pretty consistent with this, because you look at their record. They're I believe right now after last night, I think 22-4. You know, they've got continuity. They've got two seniors that were still part of that state championship team 2 years ago. And you've seen the veteran role play from them last night. I mean, like you said, you were at the game. I'm looking at the stats and the breakdown, and the guys that led them were Potts and Julius. You know what I mean? And I think that's huge, having two seniors that can control the flow, that have had a lot of success in the postseason, and they're the guys you can go to. But I think what balances them out is the emergence of Parker Spees this year has been huge. I've talked to Roz about it numerous times. I've been fortunate to cover him since coming into high school, and he just continues to elevate. Like you said, I think the kid, I feel like he grows an inch every time I see him, you know what I mean? And that's not a bad thing for a basketball player. 4-point-something GPA, so he's a very cerebral player as well. I think he's given him that legit third-punch dynamic that quality teams that have success in the postseason usually got more than a guy, you know what I mean? And I mean, for runs, and so to see that, and you add the pieces around that, you know, Sadu, you have Jackson Scarborough, like you mentioned, Ty Schott, Jackson Silverstrom, you know, they just, Silas Rodriguez, that's another senior, pretty sure has been on varsity all 4 years. I know the last 3 years for sure. So they have depth, they have size, you know, Roz and the coaching staff, they've been in these situations before. To me personally, I still feel they're the best team to give St. Joe's an actual run. And it reminds me just a lot of 2 years ago where they were the only team that actually hung. They played them in, I believe, the quarterfinals, unfortunately, but because of the seeding that San Joaquin had. But they only lost by two. We've talked about this. On the road, foul with a couple seconds left, two free throws, and that loses the game for them. But, you know, I think I look at them this year as the same thing. You've got two seniors. Julius, to me, has really matured in his game as far as knowing when to be in score mode and when to be in facilitate mode. And to me, that has really rounded out his game offensively. And it's calmed. Everyone else has kind of fallen into their roles, you know, and I think they just They do. They have the size. They have the depth. They have the shooting. They have a guy in Julius, but also you could say that could be Abe Pott some nights. Parker Spees is starting to emerge as that, you know. And so I just, when I see them on paper, but also in games, you know, I mean, the Bullard score wasn't a blowout game, but Bullard's back to being fully healthy. I mean, they've got some really three dynamic juniors, especially two dynamic juniors, you know what I mean? So they could put up points. So I'm not shocked by that score, and they were at home. So really not shocked by that score at all, but I do. I have San Joaquin personally number two right now. I just, again, they're winning games that they should win. They've got some key wins over a team like Monterey Trails earlier, who's a really, really, really good team in the NorCal area. They lost to Endercombe, but again, I that's not a horrible loss because Endercombe's, I believe, only got two or one losses on the season anyways. And so I just, again, I see them as a team that, again, they've got those veteran pieces, and I think they could, if this, given on how the seedings break out, I hope they're a top four seed because I hope they don't see St. Joe's too early like they did last time because I think they can give them the best run.
Yeah, I agree on all those points. And Julius actually had 18 rebounds last night.
Yeah.
And along with those 20 points that he scored. I only want to spend like a minute or two maybe on St. Joe's. They are ranked number four in the state. Tunde is about to break the all-time scoring record in the state of California. I think he might do that next game. I think he's 26 points away. You know, we know how good they are. It seems like they are on a revenge tour this season after what Clovis North did to them at Selden Arena last year. But just, I don't know, you've seen them with your own eyeballs. Just how different are they from last year?
Yeah, I mean, it's depth. They have way more depth this year. They are not a two-man show. Last year, it was really Julius and Tunde, you know, go get buckets. They didn't – their bigs were young. You know, their surrounding pieces were young. The Matos, who's been huge for them this year, wasn't able to play because moving from overseas, as a non-freshman, you have to sit a full 365. So they just have more depth. And what I've really noticed, Paul, is they are a really, really good defensive team. They are flying around on defense, and with the athleticism combined with the buy-in on defense, that is a scary thing. You know, like when I saw them, you were there too at the Clovis West game, they were swarming. They were flying around, and Tunde was locked in on defense, which, you know, going to Baylor, that's kind of their style. They're a very intense, strong-minded defensive team. But, yeah, to me, the defensive end of things, but also the emergence of Malcolm Price, the emergence, like I said, of Matos, Gunner has been just critical at the three-point line for them this year, and the attention that Tunde gets, obviously, as a top 15 player in the country, McDonald's All-American selectee, like, he is going to draw attention. He is also seeing the floor better as far as a facilitator this year. They just look like a team, and I mean, I watched the game against Salesian on live stream, and Salesian is a really, really good defensive team, elite defensive team. Again, very high IQ, the NorCal Open champs last year. And for them to kind of – there was a moment where it got close. Salesian went on a run. But other than that, I mean, they just – they don't seem rattled. They've got tons of traveling miles. They've played a really tough schedule this year. They just don't seem rattled when they fall behind. I watched the Modesto Christian game as well on MLK, a live stream also. And, again, they had flown back from the East Coast, slept probably 4 hours as a team, you know, and – play the next day in the Bay Area, and they had a moment where it looked, you know, like, ooh, they lost the lead, but they've been able to come back, and they just stay calm. They don't seem rattled, and again, they just, when push comes to shove, they got a guy that they can go to who no one really can stop. I see them just as such a complete team this year compared to last year. That's why it's going to be really hard for someone to knock them off. I mean, last year, Clovis North doing it was impressive. You know, and Clovis North is still a team that I think could get to that championship game, but they don't have the depth they had last year. They don't have the toughness inside with someone like Jordan, and that's no knock on Elias Gish or anybody they have, but they just don't have that Jordan piece this year or the Connor piece, and those two were huge for them last year. I think it's going to be tough, man. I really do, Paul. I think this is going to be hard. I see them as if they get slotted in the NorCal, potentially the number one seed in NorCal, I see them on a pathway to winning or to compete for a state championship for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. They look like a really strong team this year. I'm glad you mentioned that Clovis North game last year as well, where Clovis North just played lights out basketball, able to defeat St. Joe's. All right, we got about another three more minutes with you. Clovis West, right? What's the best way to assess their season so far?
You know, I think, again, extremely difficult schedule out the gate. Also, just, I mean, again, when you have a coaching change and you have a, you know, a system and a culture change to an extent, that's tough. You know, it can be hard on players to make that adjustment. But I do look at, I mean, you look at their schedule, they have played the elites of the elites in the state. However, you look at the track within there, that's where, you know, again, a game like, to me, everything was in front of them. If they run the tables, they end up, you know, sharing the track title. And so that loss last night, I think they're still a top five or six team in the section, you know, top five, six or seven or whatever. But again, I think it just goes to the equity you see within the track league itself, you know, the depth and size that Clovis East has, they can hang with them. They don't really have as great as DJ Stickman is, and he is a phenomenal player, obviously a D1 athlete, and really has pulled his game to be a Division I skill set as well, especially on the defensive end. They still don't have a guy they can throw to get the ball to and say, go get me 25. DJ gets his buckets, but it's, again, he's a better shooter than he's been. He's increasing his level of play. It's nothing to take away from him. I don't know if they have the size and the depth, you know, to really chip in. To me, it's really DJ, Jace, and then surrounding pieces. And so that makes it tougher because they don't have the size they had last year with Chris, Bedreau, and then also, again, having the consistent firepower from the three-point line. I think it's been harder for Spencer to kind of get those open, wide-open, catching three looks like he's had last year. And that's kind of been a recipe for Clovis West the last couple of years, has been, you know, those catch-and-shoot three-pointer guys. And to me, that's they're just missing that kind of component, I think. But, again, you look at the schedule they played, and it kind of put them – and such a negative when it comes to win losses that now every game seems magnified more and more and more, you know, and that's a lot of pressure for teams to endure. But also, I think it also speaks more so to the equity in the track than it does to Clovis West having a down year, quote unquote, because I've heard that, you know, and obviously they're not at the top like they're used to being. They have an under 500 record. But again, you look at those teams that they've played, they're the only team, you know, Paul, that was willing to put St. Joe's on that schedule, foundation game or not, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody else was signing up for that. Hey, let's play St.
That's
Joe's.
Right.
That's Nick's style. Podesta is willing to play the best of the best. And then just real quick, Paul, the other team that I think also it has really just been playing some excellent basketball, and I'm really seeing it coming from contributing pieces other than their main guy, has been Bakersfield Christian. And I think depending on where they get slotted, their league's not great, so they're going to win games in league, obviously. The level of basketball in the South Valley is, you know, you've got about three or four teams. Other than that, not great across the board. But Bakersfield Christian, man, their sophomore group, the big kid, Tywo, has really started to come into his own, almost like a double-double on average right now at night. Jeremiah's Killebrew has played 6'4", sophomore as well. You piece that together with a kid like Gabe Gutierrez, who – man, to me, he's one of the best players in the section. They're a team, I think, that could really threaten, not necessarily St. Joe's, but could really compete to get into that Final Four when all said and done. Again, depending on how the seeding breaks out, they're number 7 right now in Max Preps. I think if you go to the other rankings, they're as low as like 9 or 10. But they're a team to me that is the teams I wouldn't want to play them. You know what I mean? If I'm one of those top teams outside of St. Joe's, I wouldn't want to play them. They're good.
Yeah,
they can shoot the ball really well. They're just a team that has pieced it together more and more over the year season. And to see their sophomores really flourish lately, kept a couple games without Gabe on the floor as well, and they were still able to dominate. Like that to me shows depth, and they're adding some pieces. They're a team to watch out for.
Absolutely. Good stuff as always, Paul. Always great to catch up with you. I'm sure I'll see you sooner than later, my friend. Take care. Have a great rest of the weekend, and thanks again for a great convo.
I'll let you know about Friday because my plan is to get there for that game. So you said you guys are covering that one?
Yep. Buchanan and Clovis
cool.
North. Yep.
Yeah, okay.
All right,
Paul, I appreciate
good stuff.
You, man. You have a good one.
You bet. All right, we got Buchanan star Connor Sheets coming up after the break on 1430 ESPN. right, welcome back. Bottom of hour number two, the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Paul Metters live here at First String Sports. Paul Hernandez does a fantastic job breaking down the boys' basketball teams in the Central section. Man, that guy, he could talk for, what, a half an hour on each team, man. He knows teams inside and out. And how about this Buchanan Bears basketball team this season? 22-3, 6-1 in the track. Defeated Central last night, what, 53-39. A little revenge game, right, from beating them in the first round. And we got Connor Sheets, their star guard. He's a senior here live at First String Sports. So, first of all, Connor, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing great. All right. So, did you – you had – what do they call it at Buchanan, like the Saturday programs? Like Little Bears?
Little Bears,
is that what
yeah,
they call it?
That's what they call it,
Did
yeah.
I get you out of that? Like, were you supposed to be there right now coaching these little guys?
Oh, no, I just finished my shift. I took the early shift this morning, so I was up early, you know.
What do you like that? Is that, like, fun? Like, with those little, you know, those little bears out there running around crazy, double dribbling, traveling. I don't know. What age group are you working with?
Yeah, it's fun, you know, to see the kids have fun. I think that's the most important thing right now for them. Just kind of, you know, making sure that they enjoy the game at a young age. And this morning, you know, I had the kindergartners, so, you know, they were all over the place. But it's great seeing those kids have fun and smile and have fun like that.
Nothing like a bunch of hyperactive five-year-olds on the court, right, to get you going in the morning. All right, so let's go back to last night's game against Central. A lot of buildup. I'm sure you guys as a team were talking about it, getting back against Central. How was the flow of the game last night? Like, what was the game plan going in, and how did you guys execute?
I think, you know, in our two practices before that, I think our biggest thing was we just needed to play harder. We needed to box out. We needed to get rebounds and really stop their offensive transition, which I thought we did a really great job of. The first time, I think they just outplayed us. And, you know, going into that game, you know, senior night and all that, but we really wanted to, you know, compete at a high level and really come out with the win. And I feel like our preparation leading up to that game was unbelievable.
So I think it was 9-8 maybe after the first quarter. I don't remember what it was at the second quarter. I was getting some text updates. At what point of the game do you feel like, hey, the game plan's coming into effect? Was there a certain play or maybe a defensive effort that kind of was a key, maybe the epitome of last night's game?
I thought, you know, going into halftime, I thought we were pretty confident. And then they went on their run. They made it pretty close. I think cutting it down to the three in the middle of the third quarter. But I think it was just a string of just defensive stops. I thought guys, you know, we really held down some of their main guys. And like I said, the transition game was, you know, a key piece in that game. And I feel like, you know, we did a really good job of shutting that down.
Is that just like stopping their fast break, you know, making sure they don't sprint out? Like what was some more specifics?
Yeah, I would say, you know, especially off, you know, made buckets or even missed buckets, just stopping that transition. So, you know, there's no easy buckets at the rim.
How'd you play last night?
I thought I played all right.
Did all right?
I did all right, yeah.
Did your thing out there? All right, so I was able to watch you. For the first time this year, Buchanan, you guys went to a bunch of tournaments, not in the Central Valley, so a lot of people weren't able to see you until the track started. But Tuesday's game against Clovis was a really good game for you guys. You personally, what, I think you only had like 13 points, maybe 11 points in that one. But you had an all-around nice game. But you guys, and I noticed the bench, right? I'm a big body language guy, what you guys do, you know, when you got to go to the bench or encourage the team. So just what about the chemistry, though, about this team? Like, what makes this team special and stand out?
I really think it's the group of guys that we have. I think everybody is all for each other. You know, there's no individuals on this team. I think it's also, you know, in terms of play, I think it's, you know, how long these guys have been playing together. Like, basically their freshman year. You know, they've been on varsity. They've been playing together, working. But I just really think it's a great group of guys that clicks well, and everybody's playing for each other. Nobody's an individual in this team.
Yeah, they're all bought in.
Yes.
All right, definitely. Give a shout-out to some of your teammates, man. Who do you love playing with?
Oh, man, I love playing with all of them.
I know all of them. Good job starting out that. But, yeah, who are some of your dudes, though?
I definitely say my point guard, Dez. That's my guy. Got to give a shout-out to him. And then, of course, Braden, you know, the best, I think the best center in our league. He works so hard every day in practice, takes a beating, you know, from our other bigs that work with him. I think those two guys have grown a lot in terms of their play and their confidence, and it's been great watching those two.
All right, so in that Clovis game, right, you had there was a wow moment. All right, let me just set it up for you, then I want to explain what's going on in your mind. I think you know where I'm going with this. All right, so there's a missed shot. Actually, you swung the ball, you drove, you kicked it out. There was a missed shot from about 15 feet. All of a sudden, here comes Connor Sheets, eyeing the basketball, jumping up off of 2 feet, grabbing it and dunking it with two hands. And you could just hear the audible gasp in the crowd. You're like, what did that just happen to Connor Sheets at, what, 6'1", 6'2"?
Yeah.
Right? Go
yeah.
up and do a follow-up dunk. Just kind of explain that moment. We talked a little bit about it after the game, but the ball was just sitting there, and you just reacted, right?
Yeah, I mean, when I passed it, I was like, oh, that's going down. But then I was just kind of tracking it, and I could just kind of see a lane. And when I saw the lane, you know, I was just like, I'm going to just go for it. And as soon as it hit the rim and I saw it, and I was like, oh, that's coming right to me. And I caught it, and when I dunked it, it just happened so fast. Like, I feel like I didn't even – it just was like I zoned out. And I was just – as you can see in the video, I just jumped off the rim and ran back. Like, I didn't even know what happened, you know. And then after the timeout, I was like, oh, I really just did that.
Your teammates, man, they were jumping all over for you on that one. Do you do those types of dunks a lot in practice? Like, throw it off the backboard and can cram it? Is that something you can do?
Sometimes on some good days, you know, my legs are feeling good. But
how many dunks you got on the season?
Season, I think so far this season, only one or two.
Really?
That actually was like one of my first like actual good in-game dunks.
When was the first time you dunked it? Because you always remember the first time. Was it in practice, sophomore year or something? Like, when was it?
So I'd say the first one I remember vividly is my first week of my freshman year. It was crazy. I was going crazy when I first threw it down, and there was nobody else in the gym. It was just me, and that was hard because nobody obviously believed me, you know, at the time. But, you know, I just remember that so vividly. And, you know, that was obviously everybody wants to dunk, you know, but
was
I just
it
remember it.
A so one-hander, vividly. Two-hander? How'd you do it?
It was a one-hander. It was kind of weak. But
all right.
You
got it down?
It. Yeah.
As a freshman?
Yeah.
Right? So that says a lot. I want to talk about a little bit more about this season for Buchanan, talking with Connor Sheets. So you guys go to that Modesto Christian tournament. It's a big-time tournament, right? There's some familiar teams in there, but Modesto Christian's been a state power for a long time. You guys find yourself in the championship game, right? Worked your way all the way up, play Modesto Christian, and you guys are hanging tight, following it online. They eventually beat you guys, but just talk about what it meant to go to that championship game. Like, was that just – obviously, you lost the game, but was it almost like a turning point in the season? Like, hey, we can hang with some of the best teams in the state?
Definitely. I think, obviously, that tournament is really, really good, filled with great teams. And I think, you know, competing with some of those teams that are in that tournament, I think really showed us, like, how good we really can be. You know, and obviously, Modesto Christians, you know, they got great offensive talent, great, great players over there. And even just hanging with them for as long as we did, I think it, you know, boost our confidence going into track play. And I think that tournament was really big for us to see where we're at.
And then you guys beat Clovis North, right? That was a big deal. How'd you guys pull that one off? Like, what was your mentality? And then what were you guys thinking after the game?
I think it was, again, our preparation going into the game, knowing that obviously they're, you know, historically a really good program, sound, fundamental, got great players over there. But I think it was just our mentality and our mindset going into the game. Like, we knew that, like, this is a big game, and, you know, we feel like we have something to prove this year.
So from what I hear from everybody, you're a great kid, and I can see that, and everybody can hear that right now. But you're a killer on the court, right? So talk about the mentality that flips, right? Like, what are you thinking personally in a game? Just thinking, man, you know, I'm not letting this guy beat me, or I'm, you know what I mean? Like, what's your killer mentality?
Really, it's just a testimony to the work that I put in. I feel like I'm very confident in my abilities. I never try to let, you know, my personal, like, play in a game affect the outcome of the team's success. I always feel like I want to, you know, be that team guy. I don't worry about that stuff. But I say my confidence is just really what separates me from other people.
Where'd that come from? like grew up in a basketball family, right?
Oh yeah.
So where'd that killer instinct come from?
I think it came from both of my parents. You know, they were both great athletes, you know, in their times. And I think they just instilled that in me, while also keeping me humble, you know, not too outgoing about, you know, your accomplishments, but, you know, building that killer in me is something that, you know, they've definitely done.
What's your favorite type of play on the court, right? So you've got that two-handed dunk, right? But I'm talking about maybe there's an assist that you like, or maybe you step through and take a charge. Like, what really gets you going in a game?
I think, honestly, it's getting my teammates involved. Like, I think, you know, if I can, you know, pull in four defenders and kick it out for somebody to hit a wide-open three, I think that just builds their – not only, you know, my confidence in them, but their confidence. You know, they're making shots, and I think that's really important for, you know, the team's success and – you know, obviously, whoever hits the shot, you know, they're now more confident, you know.
Absolutely. All right, so I don't think a lot of people know that you moved from Nevada to the Clovis area, right? I remember hearing, yeah, there's, you know, Buchanan got this dude, and he's supposed to be a player, and he's from Nevada, and he can shoot lights out, and he's confident and calm. But just kind of talk about your journey, right? You played a couple seasons in Nevada, did some all-league stuff. But then how'd you make your way to Clovis?
So, like the move?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. It kind of just happened so fast. Like, after my sophomore year, I think we were looking for a change. And then somehow my dad just got in contact with Coach Orlich, and he was like, you know, come check out Clovis. Dad checked it out. He brought us down. And, you know, within a week, you know, we made that decision. Like, this is good. This could be a big move for us, and we jumped at it.
Did you have to feel like you had to prove yourself at all? Kid coming in, new environment. Did you feel a little bit of pressure?
I would say I definitely had a chip on my shoulder, but I didn't feel like I had to come in and prove anything. I feel like, again, I'm just going to play my game, and, you know, whatever happens, happens. And I'm just confident in my abilities that whatever happened would be the outcome.
And was it easy to be, like, accepted by the guys? Like, what are some fun things that you started doing to your guys, like going out to lunch or playing some video games together? What kind of made the transition more easy?
I think definitely both those things. Like, when I first got here, I mean, obviously, new kid and whatnot, but they were super welcoming, great group of guys again. And I think that's really what helped make the move that much more smooth, is the way those guys just kind of brought us all in. And it really did feel like I knew those guys for a while after like 2 months. It was great.
And this season, you guys are having a fantastic season at Buchanan, 22-3 on the year. So you mentioned a little bit about your dad, right? And your mom was an athlete too. So what are some ways you mentioned how he's kind of helped you become humble in certain ways, or made sure you were humble? Like, what are some other ways that your dad has helped, like, your basketball game? Because he's been a basketball coach for a long time, too.
Yeah, I think, really, it's just he always wants to do what's best for me and point me in the right direction. You know, he's not, you know, on me too much about certain things. He just really wants what's best for me. And I think that, you know, he's a great dad. Like, he does everything for me. And, you know, it's not – I wouldn't say it was easy growing up, but, I mean, he really has shaped me who I am today.
Are you a better shooter than him? He can't defend himself right now, right? But what you're a better shooter right now?
I would say, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was there a point when you're able to beat him one-on-one? Because, like, for a lot of dads, like, there's a moment in time where, like, oh, man, my son just took me, and then the dads start cheating a little, right? Start bumping, doing old man moves, right? Was there a moment that you can speak of?
Definitely. I think, honestly, I think it was my, like, fifth grade year, because he has bad ankles.
He was
a football player, right?
Oh, there you go.
But I'd say that fifth grade year, I beat him pretty good, and he was like, all right, I'm done playing one-on-one. So after that, you know, we didn't really play too much one-on-one. But, you know, he was always kind of, you know, obviously he's very competitive, so we would always go at it.
In what ways, you mentioned Coach Orlich, and what a great, phenomenal coach, right? He's a legend, right? He coached Shaq. I don't even know that story in that McDonald's All-American game.
Yes.
Has he told you stories about that?
I have, actually, in his office. I think he has a picture that might be signed by Shaq. I'll have to double check.
All right. I got to check in on that. How has Coach elevated your game, right? Like, he's seen everything. It's from his time at Clovis West to Stanford to, like you said, coaching in a McDonald's All-American game. What is he? How has he helped shape your game?
I think, you know, with obviously all his knowledge, I think he's really kind of sharpened some of the like when I got here, I was just going into my junior year, there were still some, you know, things that could be tightened up in my game, and I feel like he gave me a lot of good advice, a lot of good like workouts when I was here. But he's done a lot for me. He's also pointed me in the right direction and given me a lot of good things to take with me, you know, when I go on past high school. And I think that's great.
Is there something specific, right? Like the coach will say, hey, man, you got to work on your left, or you got to – this move will elevate your game a little bit. Is there something a little more specific that he's taught you?
I would say – He kind of says this a lot to all of us now, even myself, is just talking to yourself. And I think what he means by that is, you know, don't let one shot affect your next five or six shots. You know what I mean? If you miss, you know, three in a row, you know, can't get in your head. You know, you got to stay mentally strong and mentally sharp and move on to the next shot, the next play, the next day, you know, all these things like that.
That's important. Yeah. That's important, right? Especially for a shooter like yourself, right? And you kind of can get caught up in that. Let's say you miss one, but it looked good. You're like, all right, take another one. You miss it. You might, right, try to shoot yourself out of a slump for lack of a better phrase. Like, has that been an evolution in your game, right? Because you could score, Connor, let's be honest, and I'm saying this, right? You could score 30 a game if you want, right? But, right, if it's not falling for you, like, you don't force the game. That's what I'm saying. So, like, was that something you had to learn, or is that something that's always kind of been there?
I would say that's something that's kind of always been there, and I think that's a testimony to my dad a little bit. But I would say, you know, kind of with the talking to yourself piece, like, I'd say when I got here, I wasn't as mentally sharp as I am now. I just kind of took that and ran with it because, you know, I feel like I was a good shooter, you know, and now that, you know, I'm kind of staying mentally sharp, I feel like I'm taking my shooting to a whole nother level.
Good idea. Good man here. All right, Connor, we got another couple minutes with you. Who's your favorite basketball player of all time?
Ooh, there's a couple, but I'd say my favorite personally is probably Steph Curry. Definitely.
Shooter.
Yes.
Best shooter of all time.
No doubt.
No doubt. What do you love about his game? Like, just the way he gets himself open, right? He uses screens, but he doesn't need a screen all the time. Like, what do you love most about his game?
I think it's the way he can impact the game outside of shooting, you know, especially with, you know, teams focused on him so much of the time. I think that opens stuff up for his teammates. And, you know, again, he could go get 30 a night all the time. But, you know, I think he does a good job of also, you know, making the right play and knowing, you know, what shots to take and whatnot. And obviously he's very confident in his shot, you know, and he's worked on that. So I think I take a lot from his game.
Good call. He's actually my favorite player of all time too.
Really?
Yeah. So we share that in common. Yeah. I love Steph's game. What is all right. So you mentioned a little bit about next level. So I don't think I know this answer, but what's your college choice? Do you have a college you're going to?
I do. I have signed with the College of Idaho in Caldwell, Idaho.
All right.
For Colby Blaine. Colby Blaine, yeah.
Is there a connection to the family there, or how did you hear about them? How'd they contact you?
So first, Colby Blaine, he actually was an AAU coach of mine with Select out of Idaho. And there I kind of, you know, got to know him and all that. And, you know, obviously building a little bit of a relationship there. But then going into my senior year, that summer, he actually – you know, contacted me a couple of times and, you know, was talking to me a little bit on the phone. And then when I went on the visit up there in September, I believe it, you know, the teammates that, you know, I'd be playing with and all the guys, the community, I thought it was just a perfect fit.
Has a coach told you what your role might be next year coming in, or is there like no guarantees? We want you to compete for a spot.
It was kind of both. Like, you know, I feel like obviously I'm going to be a point guard. But I think, you know, you got to compete for a spot. You know, it's not going to be given to you. And I feel like I know that as well. But really, I just got to come in, compete, keep my head down, and stay focused.
Absolutely. And meanwhile, you got the rest of your senior year. You guys are having a fantastic season. Connor, a couple more questions for you really quick. All right, so you're a phenomenal basketball player. But do you have any other hidden talents that people don't know about? Maybe you're an artist, or maybe you like, you know, classic cards. I don't know. Like, do you have something that people don't know about?
I would actually say that I'm a pretty good baseball player.
Yeah?
I stopped playing my freshman year to focus on basketball, but if I was to do anything else, I'd be a baseball player.
What position?
Ooh, I'd probably be either a third baseman or a center fielder.
You got a good arm or a good bat? A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. I wouldn't say I'm a home run hitter. You know, I'm more of a line drive kind
of
guy.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Of course. I was actually at the Buchanan practice yesterday for about a half an hour. Hey, if you're an athlete, man, you could play any sport. So, I don't know. It might not be too late. Coach Fonts, give Coach Fonts a text message. Tell him about Connor Sheets. All right, last question here, Connor. What would be the ultimate way for you to end your senior year at Buchanan?
Really just to win. I think that's the main goal right now is just to win. And, you know, we know to do that, we have to take it one day at a time and keep trusting our abilities. But I just want to win. And that's always kind of what I've been about.
Absolutely. Well, you guys are in a prime position. You're 6-1 in the track. You got a game Tuesday and then that big matchup against Clovis North, a game that we're going to have on 1430 ESPN. Connor, I'm so happy that you're able to come on and share your story and let the people out there know more about you. And good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. That was Connor Sheets, Buchanan Boys Basketball. Hey, that's it for a show. Thank you to everybody out there for listening. Thanks to Jorge Rodriguez, Adrian Martinez, Connor Sheets, and Paul Hernandez. If you want to go back and listen to any parts of the show that you missed, just go to 1430ESPNFresno.com. Go to Central Valley Sports. And boom, there it is. Again, thank you guys for listening. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.